Glad to see all that can be out today.
Today I want to kind of talk about making the most of our time, most of our life. I want to start out by telling you about a story about a man named John. He was he had wild hair, he wore a t-shirt with holes in it, and no shoes. He is different, but very bright. He became a Christian while attending college. Across the street from the campus is a large, upper middle class, very conservative church. And one Sunday, John decided to go to church there. He walked in barefooted, dressed in jeans and t-shirt and his wild hair. And the service had already started. And John headed down the aisle looking for a seat. And the closer he got to the front, there was no seat. He noticed there wasn't nowhere for him to sit. So he just sat right on the floor by the first pew. And everybody was kind of looking over there at him, and you know, you could tell the church was coming up a little bit uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, you just seen a guy from the back. He was an older guy dressed in his three-piece suit, dressed nice, and he just heard his cane as he was slowly making his way up there. And everybody was kind of looking at him like, oh, I wonder what he's going to say to us. So he finally reached him up on the first pew, sitting on the floor, and he sat his cane down, and he put his hand on his shoulder, and he sat right there beside him. And all of a sudden, churches went over, and everything was comfortable. And before the preacher got ready to start preaching, he said, y'all might not remember anything I said here today, but you ought to remember that kindness that deacon showed to that man that was sitting there by himself. And that's kind of how we want to, you know, make sure we're represented when other people see us. They don't want to see us as just because I'm nice and I'm dressed up and I see somebody over there that's not doing so well, that I'm going to treat them any different. I'm going to be different towards them. That's that 80-year-old guy making the most of his life by making him feel comfortable there at that church. And that's what we kind of want to do here. This morning I want us to think about the question, how can I make the most of what's left of my life? Now I'm not talking about when everything is going your way, all the pieces are falling into place, and the skies are blue above. Instead, I'm talking about when everything is falling apart. Unexpected things are happening. When death or divorce or financial problems or family problems have occurred. What do you do when everything seems to go wrong? When you have more to do than you can possibly accomplish. You're not sure what to do next. How do you get the most out of life in the times like that? In Ecclesiastes 3:1-17, Solomon gives five keys that make the most of our lives. Accepting God's guidance in every area of your life, affirming your faith in confusing times, applying yourself to doing good, appreciate your time as a gift from God, and anticipating giving an account of your life to God. I want to start reading in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away songs, a time to gather songs together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to render, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, and a time of war, and a time of peace. So let us notice a few of the 28 events of life that Solomon mentioned. Verse 2 says, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. In God's plan, there's always a day for you to be born. Long before your birth, God knew when you were going to be born. But what happens when we short-circuit God's plan? What about the millions of babies who were to be born, but instead were aborted? Could we have aborted one who would have found a cure for cancer or AIDS? Have we destroyed another Einstein or Edison or Beethoven? In God's plan, there's a time to enter the world and a time to leave it. And too often, people have short-circuited God's plan. In verse 3, it says there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. Yeah, there are things which we need to kill or tear down. Bad feelings, emotions, relationships, things that are harmful and need to come to an end. And there's a time also for things to heal, to be built up and reinforced. In verse 6, Solomon says, there's a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away. And now when I think about this time to throw away and keep, I mostly think about my shield. Every time Vicky tells me to throw something away, I keep it. I keep it out there in my shed, and it's a junk. And she looks out there in that backyard every now and then, and she looks at my shed and said, I thought you could throw that away. But I always think I can use it for something down the line. And it just seems like if I throw it away, and that's when I need it. I say, I could have used that piece to put on this, or used that piece to do that right there. So I'm a keeper, she's a throwaway. But it's sometimes, and we need to be keepers, and sometimes we need to be, need to throw some things away. In verse 7, there's a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. We actually get those mixed up, no? We are usually silent when we ought to speak, and we usually speak when we ought to be silent. I know this because most of the time I'm always quiet when I should be speaking. And Vicky gets on me about that a lot, because she says, you should speak up. And usually I'm just quiet. That's just who I am. But there are also some times when I should step up and I should speak. And I know that about myself. It's just something I have to work on. And verse 8 tells us, there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The book of Proverbs tells us that God hates these things that bring harm in our life. God hates sin because of what it does to us. So God says, I hate this thing, and I want you to hate it too. Not the person, but the sin. Altogether, in these verses, Solomon has listed 28 events of life, some good and some bad, and tell us, in the face of it all, we need to accept God's guidance and God's help in every area of our life. Now, the second key is, affirm your faith in confusing times. In verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God is making from the beginning to the end. That's important because Solomon is saying that the God who has created us in his own image also created us with concern about the future. And that's unique to human race. The animal kingdom doesn't have eternity in his heart. Your dog isn't planning for the future. He doesn't have a retirement plan. But you do. And if you are wise, you are planning for your eternity in heaven with Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. But know there's another part in verse 11. It continues to say, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. Why? Because God is God and we're his creation. We're not gods. There are certain things we won't be able to figure out until we get to the other side. Jesus said in John 13:7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. But some people ask, why is this happening to me? Why would God let something like this happen? My answer is, I don't know. But I'll put it on my list. And what list you might ask, that's a list of things I would ask them when I get there. Why do all these things happen? I don't know, but I suspect that some of them are the result of our own sins. But here's the mistake we often make. When we get in confusing times, we bail out on God. We say, God, I don't know why in the world you let this happen to me, so I want nothing to do with you. Now, that's exactly the opposite of what we ought to be doing. In those moments, we ought to affirm our faith. God, I'm not sure why this has happened, but I trust you. You put eternity in my heart, and I'm going to stand firm in my faith. And I have confidence that you will see me through it all. Then that's about the confusing times. Because a lot of times, don't you know, you see it happening. We want to question, why is this happening to us? When we don't understand, we'll never be able to understand God's plan for us. Because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know. So when something bad happens, just keep your faith, keep God in it, and it'll all turn out right. And you might not understand it at that time, but it'll hit you later. Now the third key, apply yourself to doing good. In verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. God tells us here that there are two things that he wants from us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to do good. You see, if you aren't doing good, you probably won't be happy. And if you're not happy, you're probably not doing good. So this week, pick out someone to help and do it. Sometimes people say, I'm aiming to do this or do that. Don't just aim. Go ahead and do something about it. Send a card, write a letter, make a phone call, go see somebody. Be sensitive to their needs and do something good and do it now, because we never know when our time is up and it'll be too late. My grandma used to always, during funerals, we'd go to them every so often, and she would say, you know, people buy all these flowers. They probably never bought that family member or that friend a flower. She's like, I don't want y'all to send me no flowers when I'm dead, because I can't enjoy them. Send them to me while I'm alive. So if you just think about somebody that you hadn't talked to in a while, or a family member come up in your mind or something, give them a call, send them a flower, send them a card. You know, we got email and Facebook, I'm pretty sure they're on there. Send them a message, you know. Just let them know that you're still thinking about it. And the fourth key, appreciate your time as a gift from God. In Ecclesiastes 3:13, as also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is a gift from God. He said, every moment of life is a gift from God. You didn't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God has given it to us as a gift. So enjoy it. Enjoy the fruits of your labor, because they are all gifts from God. You're alive right now, and that's a gift from God. So the scripture is saying, enjoy this moment of your life. So many of us are living for something in the future. When this falls into place or it happens, boy, I am going to enjoy life. But enjoy it right now. Don't wait till later on to enjoy it. Enjoy it right now. Take it as a gift. Cherish every moment that you have, because you might not have it too much longer. Enjoy that and take the time to enjoy that person right now, because that person might not be here. You know, that's just the reality of life. You know. So we need to take it and we need to enjoy it as a gift from God. And the final key is the anticipation of giving your account of your life to God. In verse 10 to 16, charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded nor trust on certain riches, but in the living God who has given all us riches of all things to enjoy. So I allow always to exhibit an attitude and gratitude. God, I thank you for the life that you have given me today. And now we'll go to that final key, giving an account of your life to God. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requires that which is past. And moreover, I say unto the Son, the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, and the iniquity was there. I say in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time therefore every purpose and for every word. Romans 14:10-12. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set a knock thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. But if you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about standing before God and giving account of your sins, because your sins have been forgiven by God and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. What you will face, though, on that judgment day is God asking the question, what did you do with your time that I gave you after you became a Christian? You see, the Bible teaches us every one of us will stand before God, and God will ask, what did you do with your life I gave you? It was a gift. What did you do with it? That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:15-16, see then they who walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So be careful how you live. And I have another story to tell. In 1921, Louis Law became a warden of Sing Sing Prison in New York, just 30 miles of New York City, north of New York City. No prison was tougher than Sing Sing at the time. But when the warden Law retired 20 years later, Sing Sing had transformed into a model prison. Those who studied the system was credited for the change belonging to Law. But when he was asked, he said, I owe it to my wonderful wife, Catherine, who was buried just outside the prison walls. Catherine was a young mother of three small children with her husband, became a warden. Everybody warned her from the beginning never to set foot inside the prison walls, but that didn't stop Catherine. When the first prison basketball game was held, she went, walking to the prison gym with the three small kids and sat in the stands with the inmates. She said, my husband is taking care of these men and I believe they will take care of me. She insisted on getting acquainted with them and their records. She discovered one convict murdered was blind, so she learned Braille and taught him how to read Braille. Then Catherine found a deaf mute in the prison, so she went to school to learn how to communicate with him in sign language. To many, Catherine Law was an example of Jesus' life in Sing Sing from 1921 to 1937. Then she was killed in an automobile accident, and her husband rushed from the prison to his children's side. The next morning, Louis Law didn't come to work, so the acting warden took his place. It seemed that most instantly, the entire prison had heard and learned what was wrong. The following day, her body rested in a casket in her home, 3/4 mile from the prison. As the acting warden took his early morning inspection walk, he was amazed to see a large crowd of the toughest, hardened criminals gathered like a herd of animals in the main gate. As he came closer, he could see tears streaming down their face, realizing how much they loved Catherine. He said, all right, men, you can go. Just be sure to check back in. Then he ordered the gates open. They paraded as criminals walked, without guard, 3/4 of a mile to stand in line to pay their respect to Catherine. And then at that night, when they did the bed check, every single one of them was there. And that's kind of how we want to make an example of our life. You know, we want to set an example so when people see us, they see Christ in us. And they know that they can do better. I know I want to do better. I know I can do better. And I need to make every part of my life counts as a gift from God. Remember, if you too want to make your life the most of your life by following 5 of these examples, accepting God's guidance in every area of your life, affirming your faith in confusing times, applying yourself to doing good, appreciate your time as a gift from God, anticipate giving an account of your life. That's what we all need to take a hard look at ourselves instead of, you know, sometimes we like to look at what someone else is doing. And I admit I'm guilty of it too. I like to look out and see what someone else is doing and say, I'm doing better. Or I'm not doing exactly what they're doing. And that's not right. We need to take an account of ourselves. We need to look at what, taking an account of what we're doing. Take ownership for our lives and make sure that we're doing right. That's what I have for today. If there's anyone that's subject to the call or lead the prayers of the church, you can stand and sing. Stand and be